The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Coming up on NFL Live, 50 days to kickoff. The return to play guidelines, they're taking shape, but with each one, more questions arise. We're going to dive right into that. Adam Thielen of the Vikings joins the show. We'll hear his thoughts on returning to work and putting a very frustrating, injury-plagued 2019 season right behind him. And in honor of the 101st season of the NFL, we debut a new segment, NFL 101. Today, we take an in-depth look at the evolution of the dual-threat quarterback. Hello, everybody. Welcome into NFL Live. This is our panel today. We got the superstars in. Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, and our Jeff Darlington. I'm Diane Rossini with you. You know, guys, rookies all over the league showing up this week, but undrafted ones could be in trouble, especially with the latest news. The NFL Players Association has informed players that roster sizes before training camp, before it actually becomes official, is going to be down to 80, not that normal 90. This means that 10 players per team will be cut before day one, which means that some of these undrafted rookies will already have shown up, could be out, or could actually mean if veterans, some of them could get cut to allow staffs the opportunity to check out the young guys.
It's going to be different.
All right, guys. So in addition to the cutting down of the training camp rosters, there'll be no preseason games, and the NFL and NFLPA have agreed on COVID testing protocols, which will have players tested every day for the first 2 weeks, then every other day, as long as their team's positive test rate remained under 5%. Now, Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph offered these thoughts today on the state of returning to play.
It's going to be different, and, you know, I feel bad for the guys who, young players, undrafted players, guys that, you know, normally would have 13 practices in the spring and 4 preseason games to show their worth and to make a case to be on the roster. And now, you know, those opportunities are already limited, and now they're going to be severely limited without preseason games. So it's disappointing for those guys, and it's going to put them in a tough situation. But for us, like I said, it's all about safety, and we need to get to week one and start playing real games. And if that's what needs to happen, that's what needs to happen.
All right, meantime, out on social media right now, Brian McCarthy, the director of communications for the league, tweeted, "For those wondering, yes, it is league-wide. Fans at NFL games this season will be required to wear face coverings." That sort of seemed obvious, but that being said, if the stadiums that allow fans to be in there, they'll have to wear the masks like the rest of us are day to day. So let's go back to talking about this roster change, right? So it's normally 90, it's going to be cut down to 80. And Jeff, I want to start with you. Can you give us some context around the decision to limit camp rosters?
Well, look, this doesn't necessarily mean, Diana, that the game day rosters when the season rolls around won't provide more options for teams, given the fact that they could wind up losing players due to COVID. But it does mean that the number at the starting point is at 90. And don't forget, there is a cutdown even before teams get down to 53 in normal years. And the one thing I'll add here is that, yes, it is kind of crushing to some guys to go from 90 to 80 because you lose those 10 guys. I would also argue, though, that losing the preseason games is probably more impactful, because in my time covering the NFL, that is generally when you see guys really shine. Guys, by the way, like Ryan Clark, those are the times when those guys make the roster. So it's a bummer for those guys, but I think Rudolph sort of stated it quite nicely, in the sense that this is a different year and we're dealing with different things, and this certainly is one of those aspects that will be a big change for the NFL.
Yeah, you mentioned that Ryan Clark was undrafted. So that being said, knowing that that's your personal experience, RC, how do you view this for these guys?
Man, listen, I understand, first off, that
it's about the player's health. And this is not a player safety issue. This is about the health of these players and their families moving forward in life, right? Because COVID-19 is something like we've never seen in this game. So I understand the restrictions. I understand what they are trying to do as far as social distancing while you are in camp. But it is a bummer for guys who are going to be on the bottom of that list. I was on the bottom of that list two times, not only when I came into the league, but my first year in Washington. I was the dude that got picked up the day before camp, almost cut after my first practice. It was that roster being 90 people that allowed me to make those teams. And so what these guys have to go through now is going to be extremely difficult, getting opportunities to not only show their team that they are worthy of being in the NFL, but having opportunities in the preseason games to get filmed, right, to show the other 31 teams that they can make it. So it's going to be hard for those guys at the bottom of these rosters to make an impact and to inversely make the team.
RC, to that point, man, look, I think the most important thing is, I think people need to understand this is the lifeblood of the NFL, right? We get on this show, we get on so many shows, and we talk about the perennial superstars, the MVPs, the Pro Bowlers, the top tier caliber talent in the NFL. We talk about the starters and the good teams, but the lifeblood of the NFL really is these guys that you don't know yet that become integral parts of what teams do, how they add an element to a football team to make them that much better. I got to go to New England, Bill Belichick, bringing guys that we have no idea exist or are going to have a huge impact on a game to eventually become major contributors to what they do as far as their quest to the Super Bowl. So that's the thing to me that is very devastating. I played with guys like a Miles Austin, who eventually became one of the best receivers in the NFL for a couple years in Dallas. I played with guys that came from the bottom of the gene pool, per se, in the NFL and became stars and became contributors and guys that made a difference and changed identities on football teams. You missed that. And look, I know what people are going to say. It's 10 guys on each team. Honestly, it's 320 guys total. And between all of those guys, I'm sure at least 30 of them or 40 of them would have made an NFL roster and had a chance to either not help the team that they were on currently, but the teams that were evaluating film after training camp was all said and done. So I think it's more catastrophic than people realize, not only to those individual players, but also to how you're building your roster out and finding those diamonds in the rough that contribute $3 to $4 million worth of contract money, and you're only having to pay them $300,000 to $400,000.
Yeah. And Marcus, I had a veteran player today texting me about the situation. He said, you know, there's some veterans that could be in trouble because some coaching staffs may cut them so they can give an opportunity to see these young guys to see what they can do during this preseason. So there's a lot of people whose jobs could be up in the air, and it doesn't just have to be these young undrafted guys. So this being said, so we know the rosters are going from 90 to 80. There's no preseason game. So Jeff, what's next here?
Well, look, this is when we start to get in the weeds, when we talk about some of this language, the opt-out language and aspects like that. But really, it feels like we're at least trending toward training camp starting the way that maybe we anticipated a month ago, which isn't necessarily a ton of clarity, but it does at least show us that guys will be tested for the first 2 weeks. The fact that it looks like we will have a ramp-up period that includes strength and conditioning before they're actually taking the field for practices. So, look, talking to veteran players, they do anticipate that the start of this season ultimately probably will be a little sloppier than other years because they're not going to have as much football practice as they might normally. But as one player echoed to me, hey, look, sloppy football is still better than no football at all. So they feel like they're doing it the right way, the safe way, and ultimately the way that will allow teams to actually take the field in week one.
All right, that being said, Ryan, I know it's not really apples to apples here, but you had a decision to make regarding your health when you were playing. Can you sort of remind everyone what you dealt with and how it applies to what players might be thinking now?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I have the sickle cell trait. It's an advanced form of the trait. So when I would play in Denver, my blood would actually sickle. My first time playing there in Washington, I was misdiagnosed. And so the second time, it was actually more catastrophic than anybody was even expecting. I lost my spleen. I lost my gallbladder. Also lost over 40 pounds. And, you know, a couple of years later, we had an opportunity to go back to Denver to play. And you know, I might be dumb. I just love ball and I love competition. And to me, it was a competition in my head. I wanted to be able to play there. So I assembled a team of doctors that said I could play in Denver and this was how I could do it. But I had to make that decision, and Coach Tomlin told me that he wasn't going to allow me to play. You fast forward to now, there is some thought out there that guys with sickle cell trait could be affected more than a normal person with that underlying condition. And so now they're going to have to make those decisions along with the rest of the NFL that has families, that has other people at home that they have to be worried about. And I think that's why this opt-out clause that is being negotiated right now is so important, because this isn't an ACL. This isn't a shoulder. This isn't one of those things that you can rehab or have surgery and know for sure that you could be back with an opportunity to play. COVID-19 is taking lives. And so when you talk about taking lives as opposed to playing a game, it's a different scenario you have to weigh in your head. And so I know right now there are people at home having conversations with their wives the same way that I had to, trying to figure out, is it worth risking in order to play a game?
Yeah. So then, Marcus, let me ask you, how would you deal with a teammate who decides, you know, I'm just not comfortable playing?
Support the hell out of him, Diana. Look, listen, to each his own. Each guy in that locker room has a different life circumstance outside of that locker room. And it's similar to what Ryan just alluded to. I don't know your personal situation. I don't know what you have going on at home. I don't know your family situation. So if you're making a decision based on something to keep you safe, which you would already assume that that's the reason that guys are making decisions to opt out, nothing but supportive. Now, obviously, from a football standpoint, you lose a big-time guy. You're like, man, that's tough, and we're going to have to readjust. But what is the mantra in the NFL? Next man up. And that is how you have to function as a teammate to a guy that may make that decision. But to be a dummy and come out and say, nah, I don't know why he's sitting out and nobody should be doing that. It's a privilege to play football and we should be. No, you don't know each particular situation. And that's how we have to approach this. The opt-out clause is for guys, majority, that have these type of situations that are going on, that they are more at risk from COVID-19 than anybody else. And I know one thing people have been saying, listen, this is young people are not being affected by this, and guys of that age, and if you're in shape, it's really not affecting you like that. Yeah, but it's affecting people that's close to you. You could be a carrier of it. That's why people need to wear a damn mask, because it's protecting other people. So when these guys are making these decisions, if we see an opt-out, by a guy that everybody knows or people that's familiar with guys in the NFL, don't jump to the conclusion that a guy just doesn't want to play football. There's a lot of things that are factoring into this decision-making process. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It ain't easy for dudes to turn down checks. So if somebody make that decision, it's going to be because they had to, not because they wanted to.
Well said, Marcus. Thank you. All right, CNN, guys, is reporting that New York Jets owner Woody Johnson was subject to a State Department investigation following allegations that he made racist and sexist comments while serving as an ambassador to the United Kingdom, along with allegations of Johnson's comments about black fathers and women's appearances. The New York Times first reported Tuesday that Johnson told colleagues that the president asked him to try to secure an open championship of one of his resorts, with investigators focusing on Johnson's efforts to use his position to influence business matters for Donald Trump. An NFL spokesperson said the league is aware of the CNN report and referred questions to the State Department.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back here on NFL Live, in honor of the NFL's 101st season, it's time to school you with a little NFL 101. All right, so throughout the next 2 weeks, we're going to be giving you guys a crash course on some of the iconic plays and moments that make this league so awesome. So today we'll be featuring the dual threat quarterbacks. And just check out the evolution of this, guys. The first player in NFL history with 3,000 pass yards and 500 rush yards in a season was Randall Cunningham, known as the ultimate weapon. He did it twice in the 80s. Well, this happened a total of three times in the 90s. Cunningham, Steve Young, and Steve McNair. Then four times in the 2000s, all by different quarterbacks. You had Rich Gannon, Donovan McNabb, Cordell Stewart, and then, of course, that's Culpepper there. And then it exploded in the last decade, happening 21 times by 10 different quarterbacks. It just blew up, right? We have Lamar, we got Michael Vick, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson. Well, we ripped through all these dual threat quarterbacks here, and somehow we left Cam Newton out in this. So let's dive into it. It's perfect timing, right, knowing that Cam has got a new playbook, a new team. So Ryan, just for you, what's your confidence level for Cam hitting the ground and running into New England? Oh, go ahead.
I'm hoping that was done purposely for our show. I'm hoping that we left Cam Newton out so Diana could come back and say, hey, we left out Cam. It's a great segue.
Me too.
If they left out Cam just because they overlooked him, they are no better than the 32 teams in the NFL that overlooked this man until he had to sign for a guaranteed money that was only $500,000. Because you dead wrong.
Preach.
You think you can talk about the dual threat quarterback. I'm talking about a guy who can really run the football. Not just kind of run the football. Not like I'm going to escape and give you a little bit. But that can really do it both ways, in passing and in rushing, and not talk about Cam Newton. Cam Newton revolutionized the way that quarterbacks ran the football, the type of physicality that he could run with, the effectiveness, the success you can have with the quarterback being your lead rusher in many great situational moments was amazing with Cam. That's why he was the MVP. And so you look at him going into New England right now. Is Josh McDaniels going to stand up? Is he going to be Mr. Big Chest and say, you know what? Cam Newton's our guy. We're not going to keep playing this love affair stuff with Jarrett Stidham. Let's put in the offense that not only highlights what he does best, but makes that a focal point of who we are as an offensive squad because we don't have the people on the outside. That's the way New England works this year, is to utilize his special talents. He revolutionized it, and if he is that same guy in New England, you better watch out because they will be in the AFC Championship again. And I want to leave the show, but I can't because contractually I have to stay here. But I'm going to ask Marcus if I can stay because Marcus is actually part of the NFL live cast. I'm not. Marcus, can I stay? Can I leave? You let me know.
This is why your voice needs to be on the show because I'm with you. I was thinking the whole time.
You too.
When is the hell Diana going to mention Cam Newton in this situation? Because we sitting here right now, and we about to have a discussion about Cam Newton being in New England. And the bottom line is this. I'm going to a point Ryan made. If Josh McDaniels says to me or to anybody else, Cam Newton's going to have to come in and fit into what we do, I am going to have a connection. I am going to lose my mind. Let's figure out what Cam Newton does well, like we've seen over the last 9 years outside of the injury. Let's implement that into our offense, and let's be a better team for it that could possibly win the division. So put Cam Newton in a Cam Newton role, Josh McDaniels, which I know you're a smart guy. They gave you head coaching jobs. You took it, and then told him to take it back.
He left.
You that good.
He left.
In the office.
Who are you guys?
Cam in a good position.
I think our bosses do the schedule. They see Marcus and Ryan on the schedule, and they always put me on the shows with you, and then all they want to do is talk about Cam Newton, because you two, that's all you want to talk about. If we just listen to you, you guys have Cam Newton winning the Super Bowl at this point.
Diana. So, Diana,
come up with the show idea.
If we don't talk about him, ain't nobody else going to talk about him. And you saw what he said. He said that 32 teams had to have a conversation, because this is how he turned around on the little thing with OBJ and them. He said 32 teams had to have a conversation. And they said, hey, guys, what do you think of Cam Newton? And they said, we pass. That's what happened.
Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
You got it. You got it.
A couple things. First of all, are you guys splitting Cam Newton's commission here, or is one of you taking more than the other? Second of all, can we talk about some of the logistics here? First of all, you guys are bashing Josh McDaniels as if you know what he's going to do with Cam Newton. Second of all, you're crushing 31 other teams that couldn't even get a look at Cam Newton to see if he was healthy enough to play because of the COVID restrictions. Like, yes, I understand that we're all upset Cam Newton took a long time to get to a team. But did he miss any snaps? Did he miss any games? Everybody still loves Cam Newton except for the
Jeff Darlington.
You just got fired for crushing them for not cutting Cam Newton into
Jeff
the highlight.
Darlington.
But look, here's the deal. He's going to get to New England. Josh McDaniels is excited to work him into this offense and do something different. And you stop it, Marcus. I know that you're the guy on the NFL Live now. And I know me and Ryan aren't. But just because you know my full name doesn't mean you just get to use it like that.
we're outnumbered, guys. All three of us are not on the new NFL Live. Yeah. But Marcus, go ahead. You can get the final word.
Marcus, what do you want, Swagoo?
Don't talk about us cheerleading for Cam Newton when you love Tom Brady like you love Tom Brady. And if they left him out of that, you would have left off the set.
It's just
look, I'm going to take the heat on this.
Somebody else talk.
I produced the segment. I kept Cam out because I wanted to talk about him. I wanted to see Pat. Okay. I wanted to see Michael Vick. I wanted to see Steve Young. I want to leave Cam out here because I just wanted to talk to you boys about him.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I know how much you love chatting about him. Now, CeeDee Lamb was the third receiver off the board in the 2020 NFL draft and the first receiver in the Cowboys draft in the first round since they did it with Dez Bryant in 2010. In total, there were 13 wide receivers drafted in the first two rounds, the most in the common draft era, which includes every year since 1967. Mel and Todd predicted that, too. So the Cowboys used the NFL draft to improve the most diverse and prolific offense in their 60-year history. Last season marked the first time Dallas finished the season with a 4,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher, and a pair of 1,000-yard receivers. Now, to that talented group, the Cowboys add first-round draft pick CeeDee Lamb, a game-breaking, breathtaking wide receiver from Oklahoma. Here's Ed Werder with more.
The jersey number the Cowboys requested rookie CeeDee Lamb to wear reflects their expectations for him. Number 88 has been worn by Drew Pearson, Michael Irvin, and Dez Bryant. Two Super Bowl winning receivers, and the franchise record holder in touchdown receptions. And now 88 belongs to Lamb.
He's a natural fit for how we want to play offense. He's dynamic with the ball in his hand. I really enjoy the way he goes after the football.
Why did the Cowboys rank Lamb as the sixth best overall prospect on their draft board? Well, in his final college season, Lamb led the nation with 42% of his receptions, producing 20 or more yards. He ranked first in yards after the catch and forced 31 missed tackles, the most among FBS receivers.
Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and now CeeDee Lamb. Now you got three options for Dak Prescott.
Quarterback Dak Prescott enters his fifth season with his most talented supporting cast, one that includes number 88, and all the expectations that come with him.
Cowboys wide receivers recorded the second most receiving yards of any team in the NFL last season, behind only the Bucs. Both Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup eclipsed 1,000 yards. And now they're just adding CeeDee Lamb to the mix. So, man, on paper, this offense just looks explosive. That being said, rookie wide receivers that you guys are most excited to perhaps watch or you think is the best chance to have a huge impact right away, Ryan.
For me, it's going to be Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy was a guy that was absolutely explosive at Alabama. In his sophomore year, he won the Biletnikoff Award just because he's a guy who understands route running. And now you put him in Denver alongside Courtland Sutton and also KJ Hamler, who was drafted in the second round with Drew Locke, who showed flashes of being able to be a dynamic quarterback in Denver. This guy is going to get loose, and he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, for me, it's Michael Pittman going into the Indianapolis Colts out of USC. 6'4", 223. We've seen Phillip Rivers have a lot of success with receivers of that stature. He has an offensive line that's going to give him time to get open downfield. How fast does him and Phillip hook up? It'll be amazing outside of T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, for me, sometimes it's a matter of who the quarterback is that's throwing to those rookie wide receivers. In the case of Justin Jefferson, I think he's in an obviously excellent spot with the Minnesota Vikings. Stephon Diggs traded away for the 22nd overall pick. They use that on Jefferson. He is the clear and obvious replacement for Diggs. Huge shoes to fill, but huge opportunities ahead of Jefferson. I'm really excited to see what he does in Minnesota.
All right, guys. Well, don't forget, sometimes the best receivers don't always come out of the first round. Just ask A.J. Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Michael Thomas. They each led their rookie class.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
In receiving yards. All right, well, Viking star receiver Adam Thielen joins us now on behalf of Gone Rogue High Protein Chips. Adam, thanks for joining us. You know, you made the Pro Bowl in 2017, 2018, leading Minnesota in receiving yards both of those years. Now, last year, we know you had that hamstring injury. So, how are you feeling now?
Great. Yeah, it's been a good offseason to just kind of focus on my body, preparing for, you know, a new year, and, you know, been able to really just train for 6 months straight with my guy and feeling great. So I'm ready to get back on the field and get back in the locker room with the guys.
Yeah, you're back on the field in just a few days. Are you comfortable with your team's safety protocols at this point?
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of faith and trust in the NFL and the NFLPA that they're going to do what's best for us, and making sure that not only we are as players protected, but our families and loved ones are as well. So, like I said, I got the faith and trust in them. And if they say it's okay to go to work, I'm going to work.
You know, you can't talk about the Adam Thielen story without mentioning the fact that you were undrafted and obviously turned out to be one of the best receivers in the game. But that being said, how hard is it to break into the NFL roster, knowing now that there aren't going to be any preseason games for those guys that are trying to make the team?
Yeah, well, there would be no story for me if this was the year I came out. So it's difficult knowing that just because that was the journey I took, you know, and like I said, I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have those opportunities, whether it be preseason games, OTA practices, training camp practices, all of that. So it's a bummer, but it is what it is. You know, it's like anything. You figure it out. You deal with what you're dealt. And you make the most of it. So that's what I know I'm going to do, and my teammates and you know, guys that are trying to make it are going to do. They're going to deal with what they're dealt, and they're going to figure it out.
All right, your teammate and friend Stephon Diggs no longer with you guys, traded in the offseason. Have you had any time to reflect about what this offense is going to look like without him?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be different. It'll definitely be that first game. Will definitely be different without him being on there. You know, we've spent so much time together. We know each other so well and how we play the game, and we kind of fed off one another. But at the same time, that's the NFL. Your team changes year to year. Your room changes. The receiver room is going to change year to year. And I'm actually just really excited about the depth of that room. Nobody really probably even knows about the depth of our room and the guys that we got coming in. But I've been around a few of those guys, and I've been able to train with them and work out with them, and just really excited about our room, whether it be young guys or some veterans that we added. So it's going to be different, but it's going to be good.
you know, it was pretty clear that, Diggs wasn't always happy, right? He put it out there. He talked about it, especially on social media. But now that you have some time to look at this, do you think that this was a good trade or a bad trade for Minnesota?
Well, it is what it is, right? You know, I don't know if it, you can say it's good or bad, but at the end of the day, this organization, the people in those jobs, you know, we trust them that they're doing what's best for this team to win games, to ultimately help us reach our ultimate goal. And at the same time, you know, I'm happy for him, for Diggs, because he's in a place where he's happy and he's excited. You know, we still talk on a regular basis, and you know, I always want what's best for Diggsy as well. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know, you'd have to ask him, but I think it's a win-win. You know, he's happy, and I think the team feels like they did what was best to win.
Well, you talked about your room, the receiver room here, right? So you guys are doing a lot of Zoom calls. Justin Jefferson, he was drafted in the first round. So as he's learning the playbook here and learning you guys, what's been your impression and what's your takeaway?
Well, he's a fun guy to be around, that's for sure. A lot of excitement. I mean, he's only just turned 21 years old, so I know he's got a lot of energy. But, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to be in a room with him. To be able to help, you know, maybe share some knowledge or learn some stuff from him as well. You know, I was able to watch a lot of his tape when after we drafted him and things like that. And the dude can play. And, you know, there's definitely going to be a transition. But I know that he's been working his tail off trying to figure out our playbook as well as just trying to become a better football player. So it's always exciting to work with guys that want to be great and that are willing to put in the work to do so, and he's definitely one of those guys.
We caught up with Kirk Cousins a few weeks ago, and he was explaining how he's been dealing with this sort of strange virtual offseason. You know, and that being said, Kirk is always Kirk, right? He's just a nice guy, and I think sometimes we criticize him for being so vanilla, right? Because he just keeps a lot close to the chest there, or to the vest. Can you tell us a story or something about Kirk Cousins that would shock Minnesota if we got to know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, first of all, Kirk, when you get to know Kirk, he's not vanilla. He's actually very interesting. He's probably read more books than I have in my entire house. But that's not shocking to anyone, probably. But he, you know, I'd say one thing that I think is interesting about him, and this probably, again, won't shock anybody, but he loves golf, but he doesn't necessarily love playing the game of golf. He loves, like, the architecture of golf courses, like very, like, you know, golf courses that no one's ever probably heard of, like just random things about golf that I would never think of. You know, I've played golf since I was little, but I think it's kind of funny, and I really enjoy that. We love to play golf together, but like I said, he likes going to these random places that I've never heard of, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, he likes to play with you. You're the one out there actually playing the game. He's there, like, taking pictures by the tree and, you know, the fourth hole that is specially designed, whatever you're into. But that being said, you're right. That doesn't really shock anybody. you know, every year there's so much hype about your team because the roster's so good. You have a great coaching staff, but it just seems like you guys can't get over that hump. What do you think it's going to take for the Vikings this season to get through this and perhaps maybe get to the Super Bowl?
I mean, really, it just comes down to stop talking about it and actually do it. You know, every year, like you said, it feel like, you know, we have a lot of confidence in who we are as a team and what we could do. But we end up falling short, and, you know, it's not easy. It's a tough league. It's not easy to get to that, that final goal, but at the end of the day, it's just, you gotta make the plays that you gotta make in big time situations. That starts with me. I mean, I look back at a lot of plays. You know, you always tend to go to that last game and, you think of things you could have done better, and it kind of sinks in your, you know, in you for that whole off season, and really probably provides you some extra juice in those workouts. But just excited to get back out there again and quit talking about it and actually go do it.
All right, Adam Thielen, healthy, excited, not doing any talking, and also probably the best golfer in the NFL at this point right now from what I hear. Thanks so much for joining NFL Live.
Oh, don't put that. That's a lot of pressure on me right there. But
Larry Fitzgerald's going, no way.
Oh, I got Larry for sure.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sure. Don't tell him I said that, though.
Yeah, I got my daughter here, and she just wants to tell, wave me, say hey, and tell the people what I want to say.
My daddy's sorry about going crazy about Cam Newton.
What did she say?
She said, I'm very sorry that my daddy went crazy about Cam Newton.
Hey, man, you can't.
I ain't sorry.
Man, you even got sorry. Apology.
I apologize.
I ain't sorry. Jonathan would be sorry about Tom Brady, so I ain't sorry.
We will see you all tomorrow. Love you, Ryan.
Ain't go be. Bye.